Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Again, everybody, if you could please mute your phone for the first half of the seminar, and then the second half, we'll open it up to questions or even comments. This report, How to Host a Target Workshop for Parents, it's not a brand new idea or innovation in the martial arts industry. As a matter of fact, I believe that several of the consulting companies have suggested that you do these in the past. We just did a kind of a refresher one for people who maybe have never done it before, never heard of it before, or really wanted to go back and get into the nuts and bolts of step-by-step how to run one. I think this is a fantastic report because I think that this is a great opportunity for your parents not only to learn how to hold targets and have an activity that they can participate in at your school, but it's fantastic because it's going to enable your parents the opportunity to work with their children at home. You know, we always tell our students to practice at home, and there's a lot of reasons why they don't. The number one reason why they don't is because, of course, they don't have room, or number two reason why they don't practice at home is because they don't know what to do. So if your parents get involved with a target workshop and they learn how to hold the targets appropriately, and you give them some at-home assignments they can do with their kids, you're going to increase your chances of your students practicing at home. You're also going to increase your retention because your parents are going to see a little bit more of the benefits that they're getting out of the martial arts. Of course, your parents are going to appreciate their children a little bit more because they're going to see that some of these kicks and strikes and punches may look easy when you're sitting in the parents section, but when you jump out there on the floor and you're doing them, it's not as easy as it looks. And then, of course, ultimately, one of the other great benefits to having a target workshop for your parents is just the interaction that you're going to get with them between you and your staff, because we don't always have time to communicate with every single one of the parents. Your staff doesn't always have time to communicate with every single one of the parents, so this target workshop is a great opportunity to bring them in a learning environment, but at the same time, you're getting to know them a lot more. And as a matter of fact, I ran an impromptu target workshop last week with some of the parents who volunteered to just kind of sit through it. I really wanted to get a good feel, especially for this planner, and I tell you what, they had a great time. I had a really good time, and actually, I got a couple of the parents interested in doing martial arts now because they started doing it and they thought it was really cool. So with that said, let's just go ahead and review all the nuts and bolts about a target workshop, and then, of course, we'll open it up for any kind of questions or comments that you have after the lecture. Right here, I kind of like to make everything very step-by-step for you, so hopefully this report really helped provide you with a substantial amount of information to really make this target workshop a big hit at your school. So the first thing that you want to do is select a target which you want to train with your parents. I like the hand mitts because I use my hand mitts in class every day, all day. Some of the other targets that are common used are the clapper targets, the double-end clapper targets, and then, of course, even if you want to do the slammer pads, you can use those as well. This, again, is a great opportunity to sell merchandise to your students, so keep that in mind. You can maybe do a target workshop every quarter with a different type of target, which would be a great income generator for you and also a great way to, again, show your students how to use these targets appropriately, and then they can train at home. So, again, you select the target that you want to train. This report, of course, focuses on the hand mitt because that's something that I use in class all the time. The next thing that you want to do is select the day and date that you plan to host the workshop. A really good time is a Saturday afternoon, but, you know, the timing can vary depending on your schedule. If you have Saturday afternoon classes, maybe do it on a Friday night or a Thursday night, or maybe even a Saturday morning. The time isn't really as big of a deal because every school is different and every demographical region is different. But you want to make sure that you at least book 2 hours for the seminar. Now, again, your target seminar does not have to last the entire 2 hours. You can maybe have it last an hour and a half with a half hour of meet and greet at the very end. It's a good social opportunity for your parents, with your staff, and, of course, with each other. I also recommend that you book the event 30 days in advance so that you have enough time to prepare. That's very important because the more time you have to prepare, the bigger response that you're going to get. Once you schedule the day, the date, the time, the target that you want to use, then you want to set the fee for the workshop. And you can charge anywhere from $25 to $35. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to one of my Schumann Concert clients the other day, and he said he charges $50 for the seminar. And he makes a pretty decent revenue for that, which I thought was pretty cool. So, again, you want to select your price. And remember that the price includes the two-hour seminar plus the actual target. Now, again, the price, the way you want to set your price, it varies on depending on what you want to get out of it. If you want to make some revenue out of it, then you charge a little bit more. If you're really doing this targeted workshop to increase your retention and to build camaraderie amongst your students and really teach your students how to practice at home, then you can charge a little less. It's not necessarily just about creating income. Or you can find some kind of happy medium in between. Once you prepare all that, the next thing to do is promote your event. And, of course, me, I like to think that the more things that you do to promote the event, the bigger response you're going to get, and that's a proven fact. So I listed out here 7 ideas on how to promote your event. Number one, you want to create flyers to hand out to everybody, hand out to your students, hand out to the parents. Next thing you want to do is create a poster to hang in the school. It basically says what the target is, what they'll learn, the benefits to having the target seminar, and, of course, the day, date, time, and price. You also want to send out email announcements. Now, if you do not have an email database of all of your students' email address, now is the time to really start thinking about that, because at least 85% of our population today has become email savvy. And what I mean by email savvy is that they look at their email at least every 48 hours. Now, of course, I understand with spam and stuff like that, a lot of people may not check their emails. But if you collect an email database from your students and you're telling them, look, we're going to be sending you weekly or monthly email announcements, please make sure that when you get something from our school, you check it out, because there's always very important information that we want you to pay attention to. So we kind of let our students, we kind of set the premise with our students here that we're always going to be sending out email newsletters and email announcements, and it's really helped us increase our line of communication with all of our students. So just putting that in there. If you haven't already created an email list, now's the time to do so. Number 4 idea, post the event on your school's website. That's another thing that if you don't have a school website yet, now is the time to do so. More and more people are finding martial arts schools in their local community via the web. I would say right now we're at a very high percent. We're over 70% of our info calls have already been to our website and already read about our programs, already seen our schedule, already understand our mission statement at our school, and pretty much sold on the concept. So then they call to listen to what we have to say, and based on our personality, they decide on whether or not they want to make that appointment. So, again, make sure that you do have a school website. If not for marketing purposes, at least to help increase that line of communication with your existing students. That's extremely important these days. It's becoming a very powerful tool. I know websites is a whole different story, so if you have any questions on creating a school website, you can contact me directly via email. My email address is melody@ubuild.com, or you can book a 20-minute consultation through your Member Solutions representative, and I'd be more than happy to help you get started building one. But moving along, number 5, announce it in every class. This is another thing. If you're not doing school announcements every single class, now's the time to do so too. There's always things going on in your school. You want to make it a habit of every single class making those school announcements. Even if it's the same thing every single day, that's okay, because some parents only come in once a week, maybe once every other week. But if you start making announcements at the end of every class, you're going to start noticing that your parents are going to come inside to pick up their children if they haven't been sitting there watching them take class all day, so that they can listen to the announcements. So that's another important area of communication that you want to make sure that not only you, but your staff is very well trained on, and make sure that you cover all the important announcements that you want to make for each day. Number 6, have your program director speak with the parents in the waiting area. This is something that's very, very important for your program director to do. Your program director, if they're not an instructor and they primarily do office work, there should be no reason why your program director is sitting around doing nothing during classes. The minute your program director has done with their work or is done talking on the phone or the info calls, your program director should be out there in the parent area talking with the parents, letting them know about the upcoming events, and trying to generate more interest in all these little events and activities that they have going on in the school. So that, again, there's another powerful communication tool. And then, of course, the final thing that I think is very important is having a sign-up sheet at the front counter. That way you know how many targets you have to order, and you can anticipate how many people are actually going to be in the actual target seminar, which, now that I think about it, I didn't mention in this report, But I strongly recommend that you tell the students that they have to sign up at least 1 week, no later than 1 week prior to the event, so that you know how many targets to order. So while your program director is out there in the parent waiting area, asking the parents if they're going to do the target seminar, directing them over to the sign-up sheet right away so that they can put their name down and reserve their spot, and also so that you can order the target. And, of course, make sure that you mention that in your flyer. Mention sign up for the target seminar by this date so that we can order the right amount of targets. Put it on your poster. Make sure you announce it in the email announcement. As a matter of fact, you can tell them, if you like, hey, go ahead and reply to this email, and I'll personally put your name on the target to make your job a little bit easier so you don't have to come in if you're unable to do so. And of course, you want to put it on your website as well. Make sure that you sign up. So that's very important, and I didn't mention that, but the sign-up sheet at the front counter is it's very important that everybody fills that out so that you know how many targets to order. So let's go on. Let's just talk about the curriculum now. Here's just a sample outline that you can follow. There's so many different things that you can do, but to make your job a little easier, I threw out here, when I do my target seminar, this is the planner that I'm going to follow. So the first thing you want to do, of course, is you want to do warm-ups so that they don't have any injuries. And I just put here round kicks on both legs to warm up the muscles, maybe showing the parents the components of a kick, the chamber, the execution, rechamber, and return, telling them about making sure the knee points to the target when you kick out your foot. And then, of course, important, keep your knee up when you're rechambering your leg so that you do the appropriate kick and you don't just drop your leg down. And then, of course, going to punches to warm up the arm muscles. Now, when I say punches, I'm referring more to the jab cross punch from a guarding stance, not the traditional punch from a middle stance. So just teaching them the concept of the jab with the front hand and the cross with the back hand. And, of course, after you do the jab, bringing your hands back to guarding stance. And you can do a variety of different combinations just to get those arm muscles going. Then you could do some round kick punch combinations for a little bit of cardiovascular endurance and also, of course, for the coordination. Because once you start getting into striking the actual targets, you want to make sure they have a good grasp on the kicks and the punches and their coordination is kind of broken in a little bit so that you don't have to slow the class down as much. Then, of course, basic stretching to prevent injuries, arm stretches, leg stretches, ab stretches, neck stretches. We're all professional martial artists here, so we know what kind of stretches are very important. Make sure that you do some kind of stretching in there because some of these parents may be out of shape or maybe haven't participated in any kind of physical activity in the recent weeks. So you want to make sure that you're doing a good warm-up, hitting the leg muscles, hitting the arm muscles, and doing some stretching to decrease the chance that they're going to injure themselves. Okay, so then after I do the warm-up, I go into part two, how to hold the target properly. If you notice here, hopefully I didn't confuse you when I said that there's three main areas that you want to focus on. Your foundation, which is your lower body, your core, which is the midsection of your body, and then the upper body. Foundation, when I'm talking about the foundation, I want their feet a little more than shoulder width apart, their knees bent, and of course their hips centered over their feet. Then, of course, for the core, I want their ab and their back straight. And the reason why I say the ab and back straight is because sometimes when people hold targets, adults, especially people who aren't in the martial arts or maybe aren't the best athletes in the world, their posture is kind of not very good, and they usually slouch. And if they slouch when they're holding targets and they have a strong kid, they might hurt themselves. So you want to make sure that you emphasize when you're holding these targets, keep your abs and your back straight. That's very important. And at least teach them how to have good posture when they're holding the targets. And then going on to the upper body, when I'm talking about the upper body, and this is, of course, them holding the focus mitt in their hand, I want their elbows in near their ribs. Their hands tight, but only tight when it strikes the target. That way it hits that impact. Of course, I also want them to make sure that their arms are strong enough so that when the other person hits the target doesn't fly back and hit them in the face, which I've seen happen so many times, and I've had it happen to me, too. I definitely will admit that. And then, of course, you want your shoulders even with your hips just to maintain balance. If they're leaning forward or they're leaning to the side or they're leaning to the back when they're holding the target, and that strike comes, and that strike is very powerful, it may knock them off balance or it may injure them. So you want to make sure that everything's aligned. It's very important. And, of course, you want to make sure that you emphasize, too, that their eyes are focused on their partner at all times. And this is something that you guys are probably sitting on the other side of the telephone smiling and shaking your head going, yep, I've seen people take their eyes off of holding the target and they've gotten smacked in the head or the target's flown and hit themselves in the face. Make sure that when they're holding the target, they don't look away when somebody strikes. And I've seen that happen too many times. It happens in my kickboxing class, and that increases the chance that they're going to get hurt. So they definitely need to stay focused on that person when they're throwing that powerful strike or powerful kick. So after you explain how to hold the target properly, the next thing to do is to go into how to strike and how to hold for strikes. So I would start off with having the parent hold the target, and then having the child, and I guess I didn't mention this earlier in the teleconference, but of course you want the parent and the child to participate in this if at all possible. If not, no big deal, but I think it would be cool if mom and dad took it with little Johnny. It sounds like it'd be a good family activity. But again, going on, regardless of whether their partner is a child or another adult, first, of course, talking about the jab coming from the front hand, hitting with the front two knuckles. Cross is kind of the same concept, except for you're striking with the back hand, hitting with the front two knuckles. And when you're talking about striking this target, talk to them about proper hip and shoulder rotation. When they're doing that jab, and especially when they're doing that cross, you want their hips and their shoulders to rotate with the actual strike, not just the arms moving, because they're not really getting a very powerful strike, or they're not maximizing the impact that strike can make on that target. So technique is very important here, and even just teaching technique, it's good to learn and it's good to know. Of course, same thing when you're talking about the hook, talking about the proper hip and shoulder movement, the proper alignment of the elbow and the fist, the proper distance away from your body that the hook should actually be. And then the same thing with the uppercut, talking about using your hips into the strike. And, of course, while you're talking about how to actually do the strikes, you're talking about how to hold for them. So when you're holding for the jab cross, of course, you're holding it straight in front. But when you're holding it for the hook and the uppercut, you have to hold it at different angles. And it's very important to review those angles, too. Because if they hold it at the wrong angle, the strike's going to hit the target improperly, and you risk the chance of your partner hurting their hand if you're not holding it in the right angle. So that's very important. And, of course, while I'm talking about hurting your hands, we definitely want to talk about the boxer fracture that people get, the common injury that people have on their hands when they're striking and they're hitting with their last two knuckles. You can break your hand that way. You definitely want to hit with your front two knuckles. So reinforcing that concept. If anything, it's just going to make you sound really, really smart, which you are, but it's going to make you sound intelligent while you're actually explaining how to hold these targets and running the seminar. So after you do the strikes, you go into part four and teaching them how to hold the target for the kicks. And I just put in here front kick and roundhouse kick. That's all they really need to know how to do. It's a good front kick and a good roundhouse kick. You know, you have the flexibility of telling them whether you want them to hit it with the ball of the foot or the instep. I personally like to hit with the instep, maybe giving them the options, maybe doing it both ways. Of course, the important thing that you're talking about here, when you're holding the target for the kicks, for the front kick and the roundhouse kick, making sure that you support the arm that's holding the target with the other arm and making sure that the elbows are in, touching the ribs to help absorb a little bit of that shock. And remember, telling them the impact of the front kick and the roundhouse kick is probably going to be a lot more intense than the strike. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention, your eyes are focused, your body position is correct to limit the amount of the potential injuries that could occur when somebody's kicking the target. Once I get it down really, really well, then you go into part five, just throwing in some combinations and tell them. You could do these combinations with your children at home. The jab cross, the hook uppercut, maybe even putting those together. The jab cross hook uppercut. But of course, if you're only using one focus mitt, that's kind of really hard to keep switching the angles. That may be better for a level two target seminar. But going on, repeat front kick, which is just doing two kicks, either with the leg up, between each kick or putting their foot down between each kick. And, of course, maybe teaching them something like a front kick, round kick combination and teaching them about knee position and body position when they switch the angle of the kick. That's something that I really, really like my students to master. I think a student that can throw a really good front kick, round kick combination and show the significant difference between the angle and execution of the front kick and then the angle and execution of the round kick, that shows me that they're a good technician and they're getting really good into martial arts. So I'm going to emphasize when I tell my parents, holding this target for the front kick, then a round kick, I really want to see the knee position of the front kick come straight up, and then I want to see the hips rotate over for that round kick. And if they can do it good with their knee up, without really dropping their knee in between each kick, and without falling or bouncing off their foundation when they're executing these kicks, that means that your kid's getting really good at their balance and at their technique in the martial arts. And parents appreciate you pointing out specifics like that because they want to know what's going to make their what in your eyes is going to show that their child is getting better in the martial arts. And to me, combination kicks is one way that I can tell. If you can throw a good combination kick, you're a pretty good martial artist. So keep that in mind. So that's your outline for the target workshop. Hopefully that gives you some fantastic ideas, and hopefully it's substantial enough for you. You know, regardless of your style, whether you're Taekwondo or Kenpo or Kung Fu, I think that even though these techniques may not necessarily be the core of your curriculum, I think that they establish enough muscle coordination and enough martial arts application to at least get the student to a higher caliber than what they are if they're not practicing these techniques at home. I think that they're fun. They're very cool to do. Very cool for the target holder to be holding for these kind of strikes, and very cool for the kid to be executing these. As a matter of fact, in my kickboxing class, even last night, sometimes I feel like I'm doing the same combinations over and over again, especially the jab, cross, hook, uppercut. But they love it, especially the women in class. They love hitting those focus mitts, and they like those hand combinations. It takes a lot of coordination, but they do it really well, and it's just kind of a feel-good combination in the martial arts. So, again, even if you are a different style, these combinations are still very good for them to learn, or, of course, you can change it however you want to fit your particular style. But this should at least give you an idea of how one can be set up. So let's go ahead and move on real quick. Additional ideas for the target workshop, and I got this idea from Mark Speranza, where he said you could do a level 2 workshop after that, maybe 30 days, 90 days afterwards, where they use 2 hand mitts the next time, which is really cool. And then you can even add in a level 3 target workshop with advanced combinations standing up and on the ground, maybe just kind of leading into all that self-defense. Again, remember, if you teach the target workshop correctly and the parents have a fantastic time and they feel like their knowledge is growing, you increase your chances of getting them into your school. Also, this is a great opportunity for them to bring their friends in who maybe don't necessarily have the time to commit to martial arts, but like to learn a little bit of martial arts. They can invite their friends in to do the target workshops, and then you have 3 levels. So it gets them in there enough to the point where at least they're familiar with your school, they're a little more enthusiastic about martial arts, and who knows, maybe they'll refer a friend one day, or maybe they'll sign up their kid one day. So this does open up a lot of opportunities there. And then, of course, here's a couple more ideas. I recommend, and I'm going to do this when I do my target workshop here at the beginning of the year, is I'm going to invite the parents who participate in a target workshop to assist the following week in holding targets for their kids' class. I think that's a great idea. I think that sometimes parents kind of want to participate, but then they don't want to look silly out there. They don't know what they're doing. But if they take this target workshop and they have a good time, and then you invite them and say, hey, now if you guys would like, come into your kids' class next week, and we'll do some target work with these combinations, and you guys can help out in class just so that you can get a little bit more training, and that way if I spot you doing something that you can do better, I can help you out, or at least if anything, it's going to be fun, and how cool would your kids feel if you stepped out there and participated in their class? So that's a good idea. And then, of course, number 4, create some at-home planners for parents to take home and use while practicing with their kids. You don't really have to limit it to these combinations, the jab, cross, hook, upper, repeat round, repeat front, and front kick, round kick. You can do monthly little take-home assignments. You can even just have a download section on your school's website that just has a variety of different at-home practice combinations. There's a lot of things that you can do to continually ensure that your parents are taking advantage of that at-home practicing. You definitely do not want them to come in and do the target workshop, maybe go gung-ho training with their kid for the next 2 weeks to 4 weeks, and then, of course, the newness wears out, and then they don't do it anymore, and the target sits somewhere in their garage. If you're consistently giving them some at-home training assignments, that's going to help increase the chance that they're going to continue on with this great retention tool. So keep that in mind as well. So That's the Target Workshop teleconference for this month. What I'd like to do now is just go ahead and unmute the phone and invite you guys to jump in and ask any kind of questions that you have from this report, or maybe even make any comments if anybody has done a Target Workshop in the past and has had a good experience or even a bad experience. Let's go ahead and open it up. Who would like to start first? Let me make sure that my phone is unmuted here. Okay, let's try it again. Let's see. Does anybody have any questions or like to make comments on the Target Workshop? How about Mark Speranza? Would you like to make a comment on the Target Workshop? Because I know that you've done these in the past. I'm not sure if we're having a phone malfunction or everybody's being very shy. Mark, are you out there?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, cool.
Is that my fault or your fault? Probably my fault.
I don't know. I thought I unmuted it, but who knows?
Okay.
Technical things. One of the main things we do with our Target Workshops, especially on level one, is keep it really, really, really simple so that the parents don't have a difficult time trying to understand what the techniques are. And then while we're doing that one, we'll sell this level two and level three workshop while we're right there so that this way, you know, the parents are excited when they get done. The kids are excited. They want to do it afterwards anyway, so it makes it a lot easier. We keep ours cheap so that there's no undue expense to it, and we give the pad with us so that the parents feel like they're getting something with the workshop as opposed to just feeling like they're getting taken for money or whatever. But the important thing is that if you're going to do level twos and level threes is that you make sure that you're building and allowing the techniques to flow from the one workshop to the other so that there's no confusion.
Right, right. I think that's a great idea, and I like the idea that you're saying sell the level two and maybe promote the upcoming level three after they graduate from the level two at the time of the seminar. Now let me ask you a question, Mark. Would you book would you set the date for the next seminar?
Absolutely.
You have the date ready? And how far away do you think that the level two should be? Should it be 30 days, 90 days? What do you think?
Well, what we do with ours is that we'll do level one, level two, and level three a month apart so that there's you know, this continuity going in. So basically we'll do level one workshops basically every 3 to 4 months, level two workshops every 3 to 4 months, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Very cool. And then do you have a consistent amount of response since you're doing it so much?
We usually average anywhere from our top was 15 children with, 15 to 20 parents, and the smallest one we've done is 6 kids with, you know, 6 parents or 12 parents.
Which is still a very good size to run a Target workshop in there. So you recommend that the children take it with their parents, is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because why would you have a parent workshop if you're not going to have a parent there? You know, the real important, one of the reasons why when I first started to put this together is that I wanted to put the onus on the parents, because you're always getting the, you know, well, the kids don't practice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now the parents have no excuse. They know the techniques.
Right, right. Well, that's true. That is a very good point. Okay, very cool. Any other comments or suggestions that you have since you're very experienced in this particular subject?
No, really, you know, just the important thing that I just found for myself is I needed a really good outline, you know, to make sure that, you know, I knew what I was doing, and I sounded like I knew what I was doing, and I make sure that the parents get the outline also so that this way they can, you know, take it home and follow it, and there's no, geez, I don't know what that was all about, or I forgot, or whatever it might be.
Would you be okay with maybe sharing your outline for level one, level two, and level three with people who might be interested?
Yeah, not a problem at all.
All right, cool. Can you just go ahead and say your email address for people who would like to?
My email address is info@martialarts, that's with A-R-T, not A-R-T-S. I forgot my email address. martialartny.com. info@martialartny.com.
And that's for a sample outline of the level one, level two, and possibly level three workshop if Mark has it.
Yeah.
I know I saw your sample outline, and I thought it was fantastic. So if you're interested in checking out just another another outline, then Mark's is probably what I would consider one of the best ones out there just because of his extensive knowledge in the martial arts. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much for sharing that with me, Mark.
You're welcome, Mel.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions about the Target Workshop? I know this was very comprehensive, but did I leave anything out that somebody would like to ask about?
I got a question, Melody.
Sure.
It's John over in Michigan.
Hi, John.
Have you done Target Workshops already?
You know, I've done them in the past. I haven't done one at my new school here in St. Petersburg. I kind of did an impromptu one last week, and I had a great time with it.
So when you charge for that, did you let kids come in with the parents, or did you just have parents?
Yes, we let the kids come in with the parents.
So you charge for the kids and the parents?
So basically what it is, it's a flat fee for the parent and the kid to come in and participate in a Target Workshop. And I believe our fee was $35. Of course, this is talking about 3 years ago, but I believe that was the price that we charged.
And that was for the parent, the kid, and a
and the target. And the target.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome. Who else? Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
The only comment I would make, Melody,
yes,
is really depends on what you want to do with it, but I think the main focus of a parent-child workshop is really to get the parents involved with the child in the martial arts. Because one of the ways I got the idea was from is that my youngest son, we had sent him to the Montessori school when, you know, he was going to kindergarten. And one of their biggest things is that they want you to take, quote-unquote, Montessori home so that you're doing the work with the child at home. And I really liked it a lot. I thought it was a very cool idea. And if you want to charge a lot of money for it, I think you're going to take away from the real focus of what you are trying to accomplish, which is getting the parents involved with the children, getting the parents to kind of know what you're doing in the school. Also, it gives you the opportunity. Like what we do, too, is we explain to the parents exactly how we teach, what the PCP principle is, you know, when to praise, when not to praise, and, you know, what do we consider appropriate behavior, what we consider non-appropriate behavior. It gives us the opportunity to talk to them about the three strikes rule and everything like that. And maybe, you know, you can stick it out and try and get them into a martial arts class, but it's really not the focus of what we do. Our focus is really to get the kids involved with the parents and the parents involved in the school.
Right. I think you have a fantastic point there, Mark. You know, when I'm creating my marketing plan, and remember, we've talked about this several times, marketing is not just advertising. It's networking, which means communicating with local businesses outside of your school and communicating with people in your community. And then number three, it's publicity, which is getting exposure through demonstrations and through press releases and so forth. But number four in your marketing plan, you should also always implement strategies that help improve your customer service. Customer service is a very important part of marketing. How your school looks is customer service. How you talk to your customers is customer service. The events and activities that you provide for your students and for their parents is customer service. This is all marketing in your school. It's part of retention. It's part of just building that camaraderie. It's building that customer loyalty. So when you're creating your marketing plan every quarter, which you should be doing, you should be writing out 10 ways that you're going to market your school, and included in those 10 ways of marketing your school, the Target Workshop is one of those ideas that you can throw in there. Parents' night out, any kind of event or activity where you're bringing your students in, whether it's income generating or non-income generating, and it's very important that you apply these, you incorporate these into your school. So what Mark is saying is sometimes we are always looking at generating income. But we don't necessarily have to look at this as an income-generating event because really the benefit to this is increasing the retention, increasing your students' abilities because, again, remember that they're going to be training at home, so they're going to be getting better. It's going to increase their enthusiasm for the martial arts. And, of course, just increasing your customer service, providing them with some kind of event or activity to do on the weekends. Just kind of extending from that comment that I just made, one of the things that our students really like is they like the fact that we always have something going on every month. We have at least one or two events or activities going on the weekends here at our school because there's a lot of people who probably your students, who on the weekends, you know, you look forward to the weekends, but then Saturday comes around and it's like, okay, what do I do? Usually, the kids sitting around playing video games, or they're bored, or, you know, even the parents. There's not always a lot of things to do every single weekend. And so if you're providing these weekend opportunities to your students and they're participating in them, and then, you know, something happens where maybe they take a break, one thing that they're going to miss besides their training is those activities that they're doing. And as a matter of fact, we just had a bowling day a couple of months ago, and one of our parents said, well, I hope my kid don't quit because I'm going to miss all these bowling days and beach days and all these different things that we do. And it was just kind of funny, but it really made me think, you know what, you're right. This provides parents and students with something else to do on the weekend, so it's a great retention tool. But, of course, we want to keep our eye on the ball. It's a great way to help improve your students' skills and abilities. So maybe try not to get too caught up with the income part. Of course, it's always good to make income, but that doesn't necessarily need to be the main focal point. The main focal point should be on the retention and on the customer service. So thank you very much again for that point, Mark. Okay, does anybody else have any kind of questions or comments regarding the Target seminar, the Target workshop?
Hi, Melody. I got one more question.
Sure.
When you set the flat rate, was that for a whole family? Because I have a lot of families where I have two or more of the kids are in class, and I know if I did a Target seminar that probably both parents would come too.
You know what? That's a good question. I would maybe set the flat rate as a per target, as a per target basis. So if you have two kids and two parents, then you would charge $25 for each one of them, because then they would actually get a target. You know, you definitely don't want to give away multiple targets.
Okay.
So that is a good question.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. One last opportunity for anybody out there who maybe has any questions or comments regarding the Target workshop. No, okay, then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for participating in this month's Target Workshop Seminar. Most importantly, thank you very much for everybody who requested this Target Workshop. I believe the first person to request something was in August, and you see we were able to pop out a report really quickly and put it on as a teleconference. My goal and Member Solutions' goal is to help you make your job easier and help you grow your school. And that's why I'm here, is to help do that in any way that I possibly can. So thank you for taking advantage of the seminar. And also, please keep those comments coming in. I want to provide you with things that you want to see, things that you want to learn about or you want to hear about. So don't be afraid to make a request. If it's off the wall, I'll still do the best I can to research it and draft a step-by-step report for you, because we definitely want to try to make your job easier. And also, don't forget, take advantage of your email consultations. My email address is Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y, at ubuild.com. I have some regulars who email me on the regular basis, and I appreciate that, and I always enjoy getting your emails and networking with you. But I'd like to see everybody take advantage of that opportunity, because this is a service that Member Solutions has gone way out of their way for. And also, of course, don't forget 20-minute consultations. They're free to Member Solutions clients. Don't be afraid to book those consultations. I'm really a friendly person, I promise. My goal on every single 20-minute consultation is to make sure that we end that call with you feeling like you got some substantial information or ideas or motivation. So don't be afraid to book those consultations. Any questions that you have, if you want to bounce off some ideas, don't be afraid to do that. Member Solutions has, again, like I said, gone way out of their way to acquire my services to be able to help your schools. And I think the best way you can thank Member Solutions for that is by taking advantage of the services that they provide. So one more time, thank you guys very much for participating in this month's teleconference. I look forward to getting your emails. I look forward to talking with you guys on your 20-minute consultations. And I look forward to talking with you guys next month in December's teleconference. Everybody, have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday if you celebrate Thanksgiving, and then I'll see you guys next month. Have a good one.
Thanks, Melody.
Thanks, Melody.